Beetle to Beetle.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haley, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Joining us on the Meyer Supercenter guest line, covered the Detroit Tigers organization in the minor leagues there for the Toledo Blade. My good buddy John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. A couple of decades covering the minor league system there in Detroit. And John, my friend, is always a pleasure to have you on. Happy Tuesday to you, my friend. How's life? How are things?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven. I forget to comment, your studio audience at this point in the morning is just on fire. I mean,
listen to those people, John. They love you.
They are into it.
Yes, they are.
My God, I'm still wiping sleep out of my eyes, and they're three cups of coffee deep. It's very impressive.
They're wired, fired, and inspired every morning starting at 6 a.m. And it's just by the click of a button. It's like, boom, these people just turn on. I don't know how they do that. Speaking of turning on, the MLB trade deadline, that button was all the way on and all the way up. And, John, I can't really remember a time where we saw so much movement of really integral pieces of different teams' rosters. I mean, there was star power being traded left and right over the weekend. And the fact that they tried to do all of this, you know, the day before the deadline, the NBA draft is going on. There's news that's being reported that isn't news, like Max Scherzer. He was traded twice. I don't know how that happened. First, they're close with the Padres. And it was like breaking news. They're close to the okay, maybe Max is going to San Diego. And then a half an hour later, it was like, Max Scherzer is going to the Dodgers. And it was like, what is going on right now? How is this happening? Do you remember a time where so much star power exchanged hands?
I don't, honestly. I mean, that was ridiculous. Not only were there 10 guys who played in the All-Star game who are traded, and 10 is just a ridiculous number. That's just an absurd number of guys. There were dozens of others who really, the wattage was off the charts, the star names. There's no question. And I got to tell you, if you don't mind me asking this, Anthony, I get that NBA free agency just started. I get it. And I know that it's always a big day when NFL free agency starts. But to me, the sport that has the most interesting trades, is baseball, and clearly number one. And I don't even know who number two would be. They're orbiting so far behind, you can't even see them. I mean, baseball trades are different now because they also are influenced by money and years of control on a contract. It used to be, I like your guy, you like my guy, we'll see who got the better of the deal in a couple of years. Now it's, I like your guy, but he only has a year of control, or you like my guy, but his salary's too high, so I got to give you $1 million or whatnot. So I get the parameters have moved a little bit. I understand that. But is there a sport that gives you better trades? Just flat, this guy going for that guy. Is there any sport that compares with baseball?
I don't really think so, because I don't think that the NHL deadline, it's not really a needle mover, just because I don't know if as much of America is familiar with what's happening. You're not going to trade a team captain away, right? That's just not going to, it just usually doesn't happen. In the NBA, yep, there could be some big names that can float around, but it's usually one team trying to load up for the playoff push, and you get a lot of protected picks and things of that nature, and guys that are just thrown in to try to make the salary square, and you end up with a bunch of people you never heard of in like a 13-team deal, and it's like, well, who really got what out of this? And a lot of times you just shake your head and you go, well, I don't know who got better. In football, the same thing. You don't really see a whole lot of the big names being dealt, but baseball, you do. You can have anybody traded at any time, and I feel like that's what's happened this past weekend. And the fact that the Chicago Cubs just decided, hey, we're going to dump our entire team, including my guy Javier Baez. Oh, Javi's going to the New York Mets to be paired up with my other cousin Francisco Lindor. Those guys are going to make one heck of a 1-2 punch when it comes to trying to turn double plays. But when you look at what the Cubs did, from the excitement from the deadline if you are another team receiving these players, you got to feel great about things, right? A lot of activity. If you're a Mets fan, oh my goodness, we just got Javi Baez. If you're a Chicago Cubs fan, I don't know what you think, really. I don't know what you think moving forward. I don't know what you think about this team and about this front office. Like, I just, I would be so aggravated and upset with what that organization did. I just don't understand it.
Here's the thing, and this is the other tricky element here. A lot of baseball trades at this time of year are moving guys for prospects. So you have to figure out, did they get an elite prospect or just a guy? And here's the example. Twins fans were upset when Jose Berríos got traded. And then they found out that they got an elite prospect, a middle infielder from Toronto. I mean, an elite guy, a top 25 prospect guy. So now it's like, well, okay, you know, did we get better in the immediate future? No. Did we get better a couple years down the road? We might have. They got an elite guy. And that's kind of the game that teams play. Did you get an elite prospect when you were giving up the guys that you're trading away? And right now, teams value elite prospects more than they value just about any player. I mean, there just aren't elite prospects being traded all over the place. So when you see guys who go like that, that catches your attention. The prospect from Toronto's one. One that blew my mind was the White Sox trading Nick Madrigal. I understand the guy's not going to play this year, but he's going to come back and play. They gave away a long-term building block to try and go win right now. And it was a fascinating trade deadline because of the number of big names that went. There's no question, Anthony. But there also was a fascinating number of prospects that moved. Way more than I expected. I mean, way, way, way more than I expected. Because right now, teams overvalue prospects. Let me just say it. It's not that they value them. They overvalue them for a variety of reasons. Some good, some kind of shaky. But right now they value them a lot. And to see the number that moved at this year's trading deadline was shocking to me. Shocking.
Yeah, a lot of salary exchanging hands too. For those that haven't been caught up on, I mean, you have Javier Baez going to the Mets. You have Craig Kimbrell going across town from the Cubs to the Sox. You also had Chris Bryant headed to San Francisco. And what I thought was really interesting is that all of them homered in their debuts, which was kind of cool. Then you look at the Washington Nationals. They dealt away Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and Brad Hand. I mean, talk about a very, very interesting day for Nationals fans as well. And I guess if you're the Cubs, you know, sitting at four games back of 500 and 12 and a half games back as we speak of the Milwaukee Brewers. And if you're the Nationals, you're seven games back of 500, but only six and a half back of the Mets in first place. To me, you really did. I mean, you basically blew it all up, and you're willing to start over basically from scratch.
Yes, especially in the Cubs' perspective. Those were the guys who, when they won in 16, they were supposed to be the cornerstones for a Cubs dynasty. I would say a little less so for Washington, but still, to a degree. I mean, and the part that blew my mind is, we had a pretty good idea that Max Scherzer was going to be traded. Trey Turner, to me, that was a bolt out of the blue that he got traded. I mean, holy mackerel, what a deal for the Dodgers. And they also gave away a couple of elite prospects. The catcher, in particular, is going to be a real, real live player. And they gave away a lot, but man, oh, dang. Trey Turner's a lot. Max Scherzer's a lot. They improved themselves a great deal. And I think a part that we also miss out on sometimes, although you did mention it, Scherzer was supposedly going to be traded to the Padres. Not only did he not go to the Padres, he went to one of the Padres' top opponents. It was just a thunderstrike for the Dodgers. They got better, and they made sure the Padres did not get better. That's a win-win.
Yeah, that that NL West with San Francisco actually leading by 3 games over the Dodgers. They're 66-39. Dodgers are 64-43, and then San Diego 6.5 games back of the Giants at 61-47. I mean, you talk about an arms race. That division is absolutely loaded and a lot of fun as well. Now Fernando Tatis Jr. he goes back on the injured list with a separated shoulder again. It's his left shoulder again. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, how long that's going to take. But my goodness, it really felt like, okay, Dodgers, typical suspects. The New York Yankees added a ton of talent via this trade deadline. And once again, it's like rich get richer. I don't know why they keep helping these teams out, but they keep on doing it.
Well, and not only that, the Yankees, you mentioned them improving. What was their big Achilles? Left-handed power. Well, they got Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo. Problem may not be solved, but they certainly made a run at solving that problem. And if it's not solved, it's not through lack of effort. And here's the deal, though. These are teams that are willing to give to get. You know, they're giving away their prospects to try and get elite players. They also are taking on salary. And that's a lot of teams are very hesitant to take on salary. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, those are teams who are, they get really close to the salary threshold, and, you know, they'll take your problem, but they're also, to solve your problem, they're going to take your star as well. And people are so adamant of, I've got to solve my problem, that, you know, losing their star to solve their problem seems to be the route to go.
Yeah, it's been active to say the least. Through the trade deadline, who right now is your who's your favorite in the AL and in the NL? Who do you like the most? Is it a team like the San Francisco Giants? Are we going to see them back in the World Series, or will it be the Dodgers because they added more pitching? Even though we still have to kind of wait and see what happens with the Trevor Bauer case, because I haven't heard anything out of him or from that camp in what feels like forever, and out of the AL, will it be the Tampa Bay Rays holding on to a slim lead over the Boston Red Sox? Will the Yankees surge here a little bit, or is it going to be the Astros and the White Sox?
Let me do the NL first. I think the team to watch is the Dodgers because they have a great record, but they haven't really been great. You know, they haven't hit the ball out of this world. They've got a lot of guys who are struggling. If they find that next gear, and they have room to grow, they're going to be unbelievably dangerous. I think San Francisco right now is maxed out. I mean, full marks to that team that got put together. I mean, there's your GM of the year is in San Francisco. Stop the voting right now. Get the trophy engraved, okay? But the Dodgers have room to grow. That's why they make me nervous if I'm San Diego, San Francisco. In the American League, the White Sox have just lost guys right and left, and they just keep winning. And now they have really added to their bullpen. I mean, adding the Kimbrel who's throwing this year, really makes their bullpen dynamic. In a short series, they are really, really going to get hard to beat. And if they can get some of their guys healthy, they're almost going to be impossible to beat.
You know, John, with a team in Houston, they're the best. They have the best run differential in any team out of the American League, and they're the best all around in all of the majors at +149. And you know, for as much as we wanted to, bang on the Houston Astros and what they had going on down there, pun intended, it seems like, hey, you know what, the law of averages kind of corrected itself, and this team is still really good. Like, it wasn't just the trash cans. Like, no, they're still very, very good, even a couple years later.
Anthony, only one of the two of us talking here wanted to, quote-unquote, bang on the Astros. And I believe...
That was you.
Correct me if I... That was clearly you, duh. Because the other one of us, and that was me, told you that was an elite team. Now, did that take them over the top? Hell, we could debate that from now until doomsday. And probably I'm not going to change your mind any more than you're going to change mine. That's still an elite squad. They have found some pitching answers. Give them full marks for that. It's a dangerous squad. And the way that Seattle basically gave away the best bullpen, I think they float back to the middle of the pack. Oakland's still going to be tough, but, you know, Texas is a gimme. Seattle's a gimme. The Angels are not what they could have been or what we expected them to be. So that's going to be a two-team race that should be interesting to watch. The Astros are a good team. That's, I think, what frustrated me the most about all that talk about 2017. It was, I got a sense that people thought, well, if they weren't banging on trash cans, they wouldn't even have won the division. That's bull. I mean, that is wrong. Your eyes are deceiving you if you felt that way. That was a very, very good team. Trash cans are no, okay? And they're still a very good team. Trash cans are no. That's an elite squad. They still have some elite hitters. And I was shocked when people dismissed them. I still am shocked when people dismiss that title. That was an elite team. And then no amount of banging on trash cans is going to stop people from realizing that, I hope, eventually, maybe, someday.
John, last one here for you. Were you surprised because the Tigers have the first of three beginning tonight, 7:10 first pitch against the Red Sox. Then they're going to hit 80-90, head east, and go take on the Cleveland baseball team because I just can't call them the Guardians. It sounds ridiculous. What a terrible name. But that's neither here nor there. I'll just call them the Cleveland baseball team. But were you surprised at the news that Tito Francona is done for the year with his health issues? You know, he wanted to manage as long as he could. He tried to make it as far as he could, and for whatever reason, he's just decided to pull the plug.
Saddened, actually. Saddened, especially for Indians or Guardians fans, whichever team you root for right now. Because that Tito's one of the best, okay? If he's not the best, we could debate it. I guarantee you he's on the short list of elite managers. And that team takes a step back when he's not in the dugout making the call. And I don't care who replaces him. I have to admit, I was kind of surprised that Sandy Alomar was not the choice to replace him as interim manager the rest of the way. I wonder if there's a story there or not. But I am sad for Cleveland fans because he's an elite manager. He makes that team better just by filling out the lineup card and being that team's manager. And they're... that franchise is lessened because he is not in the dugout.
He is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. We're definitely not lessened by his appearances here every week. We are enthralled by that. We are delighted and we are privileged to have you on, Mr. Wagner. Thank you as always for your time, my friend. We greatly appreciate you.
Anthony, you're too kind. I hope you and your listeners have a great week.